But I want to go in back into Philippians this morning, and we're going to study verses 3 through 12 through 15. But first, I want to go to Philippians 3:10. So if you have your Bibles, open there with me to that verse. And this verse is basically, if I could label this, starting off right, Paul's goal in his life. It's Paul's way of saying, listen, this is what my life is all about. And I thought if we can take this verse and just pick it apart a little bit, and then we'll get into a study, that how did Paul get here? What did Paul mean? How was it all going to transpire in his life? And so when we study this morning, I want to give you a big overview of this whole verse. That's a lot to read, but you'll see some of this is a little bit bold, a little italicized, but that's the meaning of the words in front of it. So when we look at verse 10, it says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. So that verse, we want to look at a minute. First of all, when it says that I may know him, Paul was saved. Paul wrote this letter to the Philippine church 30 years after his road to Damascus experience. So he wasn't saying, I want to be saved. He's saying, I want to know him. Knowing him through experience. What that means for you and I is going into a new year, man, we have an open slate. It is open for us to be able to experience God in amazing ways this year to come. And so we're going to see how do we do that. We're going to walk through some of the steps that Paul addressed. But first, I want to explain this, because how well do you know God as you walk through your experiences of life? Through your pain, through your loss, through your hardship, through your days of joy. You see, we get to know God differently in each one of those circumstances in our life. Yes, there is an umbrella general definition of God, and there is a God out there that is greater and mightier than anything we will ever face. His strength, his power, his authority has you and I, gives us our hope. But how do you get to know him? Because I'm going to tell you, there are things and experiences in our life that we will get to know him on a completely different level. Usually it's in the painful ones. Usually it's in the harder ones that we go through, that we will find our God in an amazing way. So Paul said, this is the goal of my life. Again, 30 years out of being saved, Paul's still saying, I want to know my God. That alone ought to encourage us. And it really resonated with me knowing that my 30th year in July is coming up. So look over your last 30 years of life. Some of you may not want to. Some of you may have a hard time getting them gears moving to get there. But think of all the things that you've experienced in the last 30 years. And my prayer is that it is leading you to want to know him more. Not question him, not doubt him, not letting circumstance override. So that very first phrase is very important, knowing how far out Paul has been saved from them. And the next phrase, and the power of his resurrection. The power. Man, Acts chapter 1, verse 18 tells us that we have been given the power. Wait for the power. When the Holy Ghost will come upon you, you'll have the power. Do you realize the same power it took for Christ to rise from the grave is the same power that you and I possess through the Holy Spirit in our life? That's exciting to me. Because it's going to give me what I need to overcome. Because finishing that, his resurrection, the ability to overcome resistance. How hard of a resistance to life is death? Think about that for a minute. The resistance of that. I think Mark Lowry said it best. If you're ever at a funeral and the one you're going to visit sits up, funeral's over. It's over. And they're all running for the door. It's over. Why? Because of resistance. What Paul is saying here is, I want to know the power it took to resist death and give Christ life. Isn't that great? I'm telling you what, that kind of power, we can accomplish a lot in this new year to come, can't we? We can overcome a lot. Because listen, is there just a little bit of resistance against us Christians in our world today? I don't think it's going to get easier. It's going to get harder and harder and harder. As it gets harder, we've got the power to overcome anything that comes against us. That's what Paul wanted to know. That's what he wanted to understand. And the fellowship of his suffering. So many times you'll hear people quote, Paul, that I may know him and the power of the resurrection. That's what I want. And they stop. Why do they stop? Because who wants to be a part of his suffering? Who wants that in their life? But the verse continues. And a part of fellowship of his suffering, what? For the sake of righteousness. Paul didn't say, I enjoy suffering because I'm getting old. He didn't say, I enjoy suffering because I made bad decisions, which some of us do, and we'll go through some of those painful errors of our life because we've made bad choices. Paul said, I want to enjoy the suffering that he did for the sake of Christ, for the sake of righteousness. See, he suffered quite a bit, didn't he? For you and for me. Paul said, I want to fellowship in that. What Paul is saying is, I want to live my life so much like Christ that I will begin to suffer because he did. Man, that's a whole different perspective, isn't it? We can't go through life with blinders on. We can't go through life just saying, I want what I want. And we can't go through life saying, I'm going to run it my way. We need to do it God's way. And we have a whole year, beginning stages, first Sunday of January, to say, you know what? I'm going to know God better this year than I did last year. Because listen, circumstances are coming. You're not stopping life. When you stop because life is too hard, you become the spiritual speed bump. And it doesn't work. So you got to go with life. You know circumstances are coming. You know things are coming. We should not be surprised by the things that come into our life. We live in a broken world. We're going to get hit. We're going to get broken. We're going to get nailed with some of the things that are going on in our world. And so with that knowledge, what we need to do is say, okay, with that knowledge, I want to know my God more because of it. Because the power that is in me, I'm going to be overcome the circumstance to know my God better. You know, that's one of the negative things in our life, circumstance, that stops us from growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord, all in how we respond to that circumstance, all in how we look at that and how we deal with it and how we move forward or don't move forward. So in this new year to come, we really got to get on us. Boy, you guys are a tough crowd. We got to get excited, okay? We got to get a little bit excited about this power in us because, listen, it's coming. You've got an encouraging whole new year with a clean slate. But you also know you got a whole new year of circumstance coming down the pike. But you got the power to overcome them. You got the power to make it better. That's what Paul is asking for. And then for the sake of Jesus Christ, I want to live my life so much that I may have to suffer for the cause of Christ. I may have to give up some things that this world offers. I may have to not go to places because it's not fitting for me and Christ to go together. I may not be able to own some certain things because I want to give to the ministries of Christ. There are things that you and I face every day in decisions that we can exemplify this in our life. So Paul's saying, listen, because of the righteousness, but for the sake of righteousness, being conformable means conformed inwardly in one experience to something. Will you allow the circumstance that you're going to face this year conform you inwardly to Christ? That's what that verse is. That's what it's saying. That's what the Greek comes out and is saying. It allows us, I want to be made conform. I want to be the moldable clay. I want to stay moldable this year. I don't want to get bitter. I don't want to get angry. I don't want to question God. I want to stay formable. I want to be able to have the experiences of life confirm me inside. Change me inside to Christ. Man, that's exciting. That is absolutely exciting to be a part of that. And then it says, unto his death. And so when Paul says this, and as we explain this, and we see this verse, the next thing that I want to look at is the question, and simply, how is Paul going to achieve his goal? If this was Paul's goal, how was he going to do it? And I'm going to challenge you to write this verse down, put it somewhere, memorize it, and let this become your goal for this year. Let this become one of your goal verses, to live out this verse in your life. And as you do that, we're going to study the rest of our time together on how Paul did that so that we can do the same thing. And how important I think it is as we study this morning, because we have no idea where our world is going. I truly believe 2024 is going to be an unbelievable tall tale of what we're going to see for the rest of our lives. I really do. It's an election year. We're in a war. We're being drug into this war. There's all kind of things going on all around us. And if you haven't been paying attention, let me inform you that the evil looks like it's winning. But the last chapter says we do. What goes on in between that, that's in God's mind, in God's plan, and in his hand. He's going to make it work. So in the midst of all that, we still got to serve, right? We still got to love God. We got to still be ministers for his ministry. So in the process of that, we look at this and say, okay, I want to make this my goal for 2024. So I'm going to let that be between you and God that you do that. But how did Paul achieve it? First of all, first step, take a moment to reassess. Look at verse 12. Paul starts out in verse 12 and he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that which I may apprehend. For which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So what's Paul saying, first of all, is I have not arrived. When you reassess your life right now spiritually, you need to tell yourself you haven't arrived yet. 30 years since his salvation, Paul's telling the church at Philippi, listen, guys, I'm still not there. I still haven't made this arriving level. So what does that mean? Simply not where I used to be, but not where I want to be. Isn't that something to think through that process? Every one of us should be able to say, I am not where I used to be. I am not who I used to be, but I'm not where I want to be either. You see, when you reassess where you're at spiritually and you come to an understanding that you have not arrived, then that statement fits very well. And honestly, I don't know of anybody that can say they have arrived this side of heaven. Listen, we don't arrive home until we're home. We don't end. We don't retire. We don't stop until we're home. And that home isn't here. That home is not where we reside today. The home, even though we are citizens of heaven, here being examples of Christ, our true home is in heaven, but yet we live here. And so we are foreign exchanged students. Well, maybe not students. Some of you said, I ain't doing that again. We're just foreign. That's why Scripture says. We are to be foreigners in this land. We're not to put our tent stakes too deep in this earth. Because when that happens, guess what? I've arrived. See, you lose the perspective. The goal will never be reached until you first realize I have not arrived. Because that's what's going to fuel you to continue on. It's going to fuel you to move forward in that. So the second thing we find is that verse stated, I have not matured. I was waiting for an amen on that. I didn't get it. I have not matured. What does it mean? Still having growing to do. In our spiritual life, we should never come to a point where we've matured, because you're not. Doesn't matter how much scripture you know. Doesn't matter how well you're living your life. You don't have it all. You haven't arrived. So what Paul was saying, now again, Paul is praying that Paul is doing it. And we look at Paul as some unbelievable saint. Paul was mere man who was surrendered to Christ, which all of us could be surrendered to Christ. When we get there, we realize we're never going to arrive this side of heaven, and I've got a lot of growing to do in my life. We need to determine what areas. How do we get there? What areas of my life need to grow? So as we look at the first step, we realize we've got to reassess, because we're not going to have a desire to go forward if we don't realize the need to go forward. How do we win people to Christ? How do we lead them to the cross? You're never going to do that until you first get them to understand they're lost. Just to tell somebody, listen, you need to go. Why do I need to go? Because you're lost. Same thing with you and I. We're never going to move forward until we reassess, realize we haven't arrived, and I've got some growing to do in my life. And everybody this side of heaven should say the same thing as a child of God. So we find that very clearly in verse 12. Not as I have already attained or arrived, neither were there already perfect, mature. But Paul says, here's what I do. I follow after, if I may apprehend, for the reason or for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Paul says, I want to know why the loving grace of God came down and got me. Have you ever asked yourself that question? Why did God save me? Why am I still here? Maybe you've been through some experiences, and I've heard testimonies in car accidents where two or three in the car and everybody died but one. And that one goes on the rest of their life wondering, why am I still here? Why did God leave me here? I'm going to tell you what, if we could get that question going on in our mind, I think we're going to realize some things that we need to grow in, some reasons why God has gave us ministry to continue to be a part of that, and how important it is for our life when we do that. So the second thing we need to realize, set a game plan. Not only do some reassessing, but set a game plan. In verse 13, I'll read 13 and 14, and then we'll go on. Verse 13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Paul set a game plan. Paul says, this is what I'm going to do. I haven't arrived. I haven't got my goal yet, but I'm going to set a game plan. Forget what used to be. Forget about it. Listen, yeah, 2023 is gone, never to come back. But yet how many burdens, how many struggles, how many things are we carrying over? Paul says, you know what? It's gone. Forget about it. If you have the availability to forget about it, forget about it. Some things just have to come with you because you're still living in this world to survive. There's some things you just can't cut off. But Paul says in mind and in heart, we need to realize, forget those things. Do you know how many people don't serve God because they're burdened down with past sins? Because they're burdened down with things that they had in their life? Then Paul says, listen, I'm going to forget about all those people that I killed. Paul says, I'm going to forget about all those people that I had killed, put into the Colosseums. I'm going to forget about all those people that I put into prisons while they were put on stakes, tarred, and lit to light the streets. If Paul can forget that, why can't we forget some of our stuff? Listen, Paul was terrible. He was vengeance towards this. And God changed him. And he said, if I'm going to apprehend my goal, if I'm going to reach my goal, I've got to forget about that stuff. Why was Paul able to forget about that stuff? He was forgiven. I'm going to tell you what, man. We need to live as if we are forgiven. Because too many Christians don't. They carry that weight. They carry that with them and say, man, alive, I can't believe I did that. When did you do that? Oh, about 20 years ago. Really? 20 years ago? You got to get understanding of forgiveness. And I'm going to tell you what, when you get that understanding of forgiveness, that, as Paul said in Romans 6, God forbid if we use that to continue to sin. But man, when we're forgiven, we are forgiven. The lesson is that if we, you and I, if God has forgiven somebody for their sins, don't you dare hold it against them. We need to be as Christ, forgiving others of their sins. Now, that doesn't mean we're doormats. That doesn't mean we continue to get nailed. But we need to understand that same kind of forgiveness sometimes in our life. So Paul said, my first game plan is I need to remember that I've been forgiven. Get rid of the stuff from the past. get rid of that thing, those areas. The next thing we find, as he says in verse 13, I count not myself to have him, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me. And in the verse, reach for what is before you. What is before you today? Man, it's an open slate. It's open ministries, open opportunities. You can't even begin to guess how many people you are going to talk to in this new year to come. You don't know how long you're going to be alive in this new year to come. Maybe this is the year that you get to go home. Whew. You know, maybe this is the time. By God's time, by God's grace, it's going to be a great thing. But you see, reaching forward, Paul says, I'm reaching for those things which are before me. Paul in his ministry, no doubt, was reaching for those things. What are those things? The unsaved. Paul, to reach his goal, realizing how much he has been forgiven, he wants to pass that forgiveness to the people who need it the most, to the unsaved. He said, I want to be a part of the unsaved. I'm out there preaching. I'm out there teaching. I'm out there getting beat up for it. But Paul says, I'm going to forget about all that stuff because I want to reach out to what I have. You know what that does? It allows you to forget the mess you're in. When you forget about that, looking forward to that, you're not so much worried about the mess you're in now. You're not so much worried about the world you're living in. Not so much worried about what you feel is to be not qualified. You forget about all that stuff. I had an opportunity to share with somebody, and I use this quite often in the hospital because it resonates with them pretty good. But, you know, a glass half full, half empty. If your glass is half empty, you're looking at all the negative things of life. If your glass is half full, you're looking at all the positive things of life. And if that's the only thing you focus on, guess what you missed? The opportunity to fill the glass. That's today. That's the opportunities are today and tomorrow and all of this year. You got to have the opportunities to look at those things. Paul says, I'm reaching for those things. I'm reaching for those unsaved people. I'm reaching for that opportunity. I'm going to reach for if I'll get involved in a ministry and then try to do my best in that ministry to grow and to teach and to bring in those who need to know Christ. Paul said that's reaching forward, looking to see how God is going to use him and use us at the same time. The third thing we find in this same area is vigorously with concentration. Press on. Press on. Back in my younger years, I used to run track. I ran the 440 high hurdles. Couldn't even jump one now. But anyway, used to run them. And as I ran them, you know, one of the main disciplines that you had to have as a running a race, you were sure to lose if you continued to look behind you to see how close the guy was. You will lose every time. Why? Because now you're concentrating on his race instead of your own. Listen, Paul says, run your race. You press on with your race. Don't worry about anybody around you. Don't worry about anybody beside you. You press on your race. And guess what? You're going to have a prize. That's what he said in verse 14. I press on for the mark of the prize. I want to run so that my goal in life is to know exactly why God saved me and not the guy beside me. Why God is leaving me here and not the person beside me. Why do some die with cancer and some live? Why do some die in a car accident and some live? Why do some die in a heart attack? Some live. Listen, that's all God's choice. I mean, it doesn't matter where you're at, what doctor you got. When God says, this is it, this is it. This is how it works. But why did God leave you? Paul says, that's the prize. My prize is knowing why God has me here. And I think Paul had a good handle on it, didn't he? Winning the lost for Christ. That's what his goal was. But vigorously, with concentration, run your race. Don't worry about the other people. Don't worry about people around you. Don't worry about people who offend you. Don't worry about people who are coming at you from all angles, trying to tear you down. Don't worry about them. They're tripping up in their race, and they're trying to trip you up in yours. Run your race, and you will be the better for it. Continue to run your race. Third thing is keep your mind focused on verse 15. Keep your mind focused. Verse 15 says, let us therefore as many as be perfect, simply meaning mature, be this minded. Thus minded, if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. What that verse is simply saying, first of all, is that when we keep our mind focused, what do we focus on? Focused on the truth you already know. You know God. He just got you through last year. He got you through all the things you faced last year. And I don't know if there's anybody here that hasn't faced something that rocked their foundation last year. Just watch the news. That's enough. There are things in our world all the time that rock our foundation. And Paul is saying, listen, focus on what you already know. Focus on that truth first. Because as your mind is focused on the truth of God that you already know, circumstances are going to come into your life, and then you're going to have the power to know God more, and then your focus is going to gain more. It's a continual spiritual cycle that works. Because as we continue to keep our mind focused, the next we need to realize, live up to what you already know have in Christ. Live up to what you already have in Christ. Listen, why would you give someone, I know you wouldn't, whether it's children, family, friends, whoever it is, you give them $1,000 because they really, really, really need it. And then you watch them foolishly spend it. Oh, can I have another 1,000? Well, sure. I don't think so. Why do you think God would look on you and I as his children living in a world not living what we already know and give us more? He won't. He won't. I guarantee he won't. And so what happens is we become stifled and stale, and God's not doing and we're not doing, and all of a sudden we're children who are just getting old, looking old, living old, and we wonder why we can't reach the next generation for Christ. Why would they want what you look like? You're looking pretty old. You see, it's all comes to Paul. Man, Paul said, this is my goal, man. I'm going after this. Live up to what you have. Live in that moment. The next thing is very important as we see what God will do and not do. As it says in there, in verse 15, in the very end of it, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this. What that means is God will remove the veil. You see, in the Greek language, that means remove the veil. And we understand surely what that meant to the Judaizers and to the priests who were in beginning the sacrifices on the day of his death. What happened when he died? All went black and the veil was torn in two from the top to the bottom. That's pretty important, from the top to the bottom, because if you've ever seen one of them veils, you can't reach it, let alone tear it. So in the truth of that, what he is saying, what God is saying is, God's going to remove that veil. And he will reveal to you, and he will give you, he'll make your journey clear. Psalm 37, 23, and 24 simply says that God organizes, orders the steps of the righteous man. God will make them clear. Why is it so confusing to follow God? Probably because our mind isn't focused on him. It's focused on the ministry. It's focused on the circumstance. It's focused on other people around us. Listen, ministry is never, ever unclear, because he's not the author of confusion. And the more our minds can be influenced by the world and by the Satan's philosophy and the ways of the world, the more our minds are focused. And listen, you've all been tainted. We've all been tainted with the world's philosophy. We're living it, we're raised in it. You're in it long enough, you're gonna stink just like it. In that understanding, we need to realize that we need to refocus. We need to get our minds back on Christ, focus on what you know to be true, live that truth, and you know what? God's gonna open up the veil and reveal more to you. Ministry isn't confusing. It isn't difficult. It's only when we try to add everything else to it, or try to get the ducks in a row, and then we start looking at all the qualifications we have, and we get fearful, and all of a sudden, like, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I can't do that. Or I've already done my time. I've done enough. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm sure God didn't say that to you and I. As we understand how important these steps are, so these three steps, take a moment to reassess, set a game plan, keep your mind focused. That's how Paul did it. That's how Paul understood it. And I think he understood it very well because he did it very well. Does it mean Paul ever made perfection this side of heaven? Absolutely not. But what it does mean is Paul never stopped trying. He never stopped trying to reach the prize and his goal in life. And of the greatest encouragement I can give me and to give you today is that. Don't stop. Press on. Press on vigorously. Press on concentrating on the goal. Concentrate on why God has left you here. Because I'm going to tell you what, there are many ministry opportunities. There are many people around you. There are many ways in which we can be used by God in an amazing way. And Paul was encouraging the church of Philippi, saying, listen, here's my personal testimony in my life. This is how I do it. Will you follow me? Paul says, follow me. I'm like, I'm not ready for you to do that to me, but Paul said, follow me. We just need to follow Christ more and more every day. So what do we take from this morning? Our takeaway this morning is this. First of all, there should never be a stalemate in our spiritual growth. If you feel today that you're a little stale in your spiritual growth, maybe in 2023, things just sort of plateaued out a little bit. Man, get fired up. Paul told Timothy, stir up that calling. Some of y'all need a stern. And don't let God do the stern. Sometimes his stern is like a wheel that doesn't stop. Just stir it up. God, I want to accomplish this in my life this year coming up. He'll stir it up. You give him the desire, trust me, he'll give you the fire. Wow, that was pretty good. I just thought of that. I have to write that down. Somebody write that down. Put that on a bumper sticker. You give God your desire and he'll do the fire. He'll fire you up. That's what Paul was trying to say, and I believe that's what we need to understand today. Never, never be stalemate. Second thing, be determined to be more like Christ in everything we do and everything we are. That determination is going to give you the fire and a goal. It's going to give you the what you need, discipline, to be able to follow through with this. Because that discipline is tough. It's hard. It is very hard, but it's all in our minds. That's why we focus on him continually. Third thing and the last thing this morning, press on, focus on your race, not others. And I can't stress how important that is. Because we do look at others. We may not admit it, but we want others to be approving of who we are and what we are. We want others to give us the old slap in the back sometimes. We want others to say, hey, you know, well done. And listen, you know what? Biblically, you should. You should be able to go up to somebody and say, hey, you know what? I just want you to know that I appreciated what you did. Good job. Way to let God work in you. You see, there's no reason why we can't do that to each other and for each other. Because that positive encouragement, you know what that does? It gives a little bit of fuel to that desire. It gives a little bit of understanding that, you know what? I can press on. And sometimes God will use you and I to give that little bit of acclamation and praise to that person. And everybody likes a little bit of that. I don't care who you are. We all like a little bit of that. So let that be one of your goals this year. When you see somebody do something really nice, really great, tell them you recognize. Tell them you saw, but then tell them that you recognize Christ working in them. That way both of you give the praise where the praise belongs. You give it back to God. So let's close this morning. God, we thank you. Father, I appreciate this time together this morning, even though the weather was not cooperating with some. But yet, God, we know that we can continue to apply this to our life. We can continue to put this into perspective that every one of us can understand this. And it's a very familiar text with many. But God, today, this day, first time we get together in this new year, God, I just pray that we continue to allow this to resonate in our life. May this become our goal. May this become our desire for 2024. No matter what our world is doing, no matter what any other church or Christians are doing, God, may we just focus on our race, our individual race, and run it well with you. God, we just uplift it to you in your son's name. Amen.